Now a very warm welcome to you all watching this video, listening to the audio. And today I'm super excited to welcome Laura Kestele to the Conscious Evolution Summit.
Thank you.
And Laura, just a brief introduction to your person. So you are a designer, a facilitator, a project collaborator, a possibility manager, action learner, and what you deeply have is such a deep love for just the living planet and nature and all its beings. And you are, I know you're also so passionate about evolutionary development and especially socially and ecological regeneration. And this is really something I wanna focus with you today. So I'm super excited because I know you are busy. You are also a board member of the Global Eco Village Network. You are in your master study program with Gaia University. You travel a lot visiting eco villages and learning laboratories. And so I really appreciate that you take your time today and share your presence and your knowledge, your wisdom with us. Thank you for that, Laura.
It's my joy to connect with you, Pooria, and with all of you tuning into the online summit. I really feel at home in this human evolution with all the different people in the communities and projects and organizations who are part of this and participating and contributing and learning and co-creating this shift together that we're in. So it's my great joy to be part of this as a speaker for the summit and through my work with the other people as well.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just shared a brief introduction about you, and I mean, you are a whole universe as everyone is, but maybe to kind of enter into our conversation together, maybe you can share what is the red thread in you and your life, a kind of that makes you passionate and that makes you taking care of our development and also of our environment and whole humanity and this planet. How would you describe that?
It's a great question. I think that's actually a great question for all of us to just take a minute to contemplate. What is that dynamic, that impulse that moves you, that drives you, that it's maybe a longing and a driving force in your entire life and for everything you do and how you do things? So let me just take a minute and please join me to take a moment to reflect on that. Maybe starting with something that many others may be able to relate to, I have a strong sense of this like impulse of aliveness that makes our hearts beat, that makes our lungs, you know, pump air, that makes plants grow and insects fly, like just that kind of spark of aliveness and vitality that we share with all other living beings is something that I feel really strongly. And ever since I'm a kid, I have a strong connection to this force, to this vitality, you know, which can be expressed in playfulness and joy and adventure and learning and playing and so many different things, creativity and so on. And I think this is also what's in my life journey so far really connected me to this same living impulse of vitality and aliveness in all other living beings as well. In the nature that surrounds me, in animals big and small, in other human beings, and even in the planet or the larger universe as also part of a living being and a living system. And from this, for me, comes a really strong, strong motivation to become more aware, to be curious, to learn more about this, and to become more of a caretaker of this web of life, of this web of relations that connects us with everything through our shared aliveness. And I think this is kind of the foundation or the ground that really inspires me, then tuning in and listening and feeling what's happening in the world, to have a really strong impulse to be part of a life enhancing and regenerating and healing and co-creative, you know, human development. And this kind of, this impulse of aliveness, this web of life, and basically our own heartbeat and the beat and the rhythm of the earth and how that's all connected. So for me, I feel really called to be that. And in a way, one of the terms that I found to describe this kind of evolutionary impulse I sense in myself is the term of an earth heart warrior. So that combination of the earth and the heart and that connection. And then the warrior in the sense of someone who is taking a stand for what they care about, for what they believe in, for what they value, and taking not only a stand, but also taking responsibility and action to make things happen and to participate actively. So that's one way I found to describe that for myself.
I mean, it's many ways how you described it. It's really brings a lot of facets, and I can really sense that the word you just chose and the word you gave to describe your experience is an invitation where maybe all of us can tune in with and can resonate with. And what deeply came to me while I was listening to you is, as you beautifully said, it's really relating also to the sameness in us, not so much to our superficial level where we are so different in our way of expressing our gifts, our what we want and don't want and our appearance. But what you kind of refer to is really this intrinsic vitality, energy, divine spark, however you want to name it, what is really the same in all of us. And I want to just kind of really invite everyone while you are listening to us to find that space in you to relate to this quality of sameness in all what is living, in all what is here on planet Earth, and just take a moment to be aware of that sameness in everything. And also the mystery which comes with it when we deeply become aware of that. I mean, how awesome is it to experience this spark and this aliveness and have this freedom and possibility of so different ways of living and choosing and co-creating. It's such an amazing opportunity and adventure we are able to participate in.
And Laura,
when you kind of, I know that you are so deeply connected to this force in its power and also in its subtleness and its softness. When you connect right now to it, what would you say? What do you see maybe individually and also when you look on a bigger scale? What are the appearances of this emerging new way of being a human on this earth in this time, what do you see from there? What is already there, or what is kind of starting to emerge?
I actually just said I had an idea to maybe take a step in between and guide all of us and everyone listening to tune in a little bit more into that field, into that sense of being. Because also when we talk about evolutionary purpose, it has little to do with what we do, and it has a lot to do with who we are being. And that is a lot of what you also shared. That's a lot we have in common of who we are as humans, and also more generally as living beings. And there's a lot that connects us in that. And I think this is also on this journey that maybe a lot of you will find yourselves in of figuring out what's that impulse, what's that drive, what's your sense of purpose also for your life. It's actually really useful. Maybe not so much trying to find a term for it or a short description or elevator pitch of who you are and what you do, but to observe very closely in your life, what are things that you do and how do you feel when you do them, and who you are while you do those things, and whether they expand you, whether they give you a greater sense of possibility, of joy, and of growth. And I think this can be a really good guidance, not so much trying cognitively to figure out like, what's my purpose? What's my impulse? How do I call it? That funny thing that I feel or don't feel so much, but rather to follow with that movement, to do things that energize you, that expand you, that make you grow. And I think that can be a really good practical guidance. And the idea that I just had was a little bit of a shared journey together to expand our senses a little more, and maybe also be able to perceive more as a result. So I would invite you, Pooriya, and all of you who are tuning in to this interview now, to close your eyes, just to sense into yourself more. No distractions from the environment, kind of letting your thoughts become more quiet, drift into the background, and really focus to feel your own body and to feel the weight of your body as you may be sitting, standing, lying down, where you feel your body touching different surfaces or objects. And the weight of your body, that kind of heaviness that's also part of it. And this is actually the experience we have of gravity, one of the most universal and old forces in the whole universe. And the gravity of the planet that is always there with us, in every moment, holding us, supporting us. And if you imagine there would be another person being there with you no matter what, holding you, most people would call that unconditional love. So you can, in a sense, say that the earth is unconditionally loving each and every one of us, every moment, every day, for all of our lives and beyond. And then take a conscious breath and really listen to the flow of air as you breathe in and breathe out. Maybe you can notice that the breathing makes two different sounds. A little bit higher note as you breathe in, and a little bit lower note as you breathe out. And this sound is actually unique for every human being on this planet. No person makes the same two sounds as they're breathing. and staying focused on your breath, if you also tune into the tip of your nose, where you can really sense the air coming in to your body, coming out of your body again. When is the air actually the air? When does it become you? When does a part of you leave your body? It's also part of our interconnectedness. And maybe you can notice that the air that you breathe in is slightly cooler than the air that you breathe out. This comes from the warmth of our own bodies, the warmth that's created through the sun energy that's warming the entire planet, indirectly through the food that we eat that all gets its energy through plants doing photosynthesis. We're basically, humans are basically solar powered. I mean, if we really look at it. And that warmth is something you can feel with every breath that you take. That fire of the energy. And maybe one more thing to pay attention to as you're breathing is that as you're breathing in, maybe you can notice that the air that you breathe out is slightly more moist. And this moisture is part of the water that composes our body. We're actually about 70% water. And that water gets replenished every about 2 weeks. So basically, a large part of us is new and is the water that we drink and that surrounds us. So again, like, who are we if we're not interconnected? And from the breathing, try and see if you can sense your own heartbeat. Your heart pumping blood throughout your entire body. If you have trouble sensing that, you can also put your hand on your chest. Supports you to feel your own heartbeat. And this heartbeat is another thing that you could say is an expression of that spark of aliveness. It actually starts as early as 16 days post-conception and is something that is also with you your entire life till you die. It's also something that we have in common amongst all people and many of the other living beings. Maybe you can also sense throughout your entire body where there is openness and expansion, or maybe areas where there is some tension or tightness. And see if just by moving with your awareness, with your breathing to those areas of tightness, actually with your intention to relax, you can experience a little bit of expansion and openness coming in. The mind-body connection is actually one of the really strong things that can influence each other. The mind shaping the body shaping the mind. And taking another breath, you can slowly open your eyes again. And with the eyes, we can look into each other's eyes and we can see each other and also notice how we influence each other on so many levels. And we have these amazing mirror neurons in our brains that actually help us to empathize and to be compassionate and to sense not only our own emotions and feelings, but also the ones of others. And this is another way where we're so, that shows how deeply interconnected we are with all of us and how we're influencing each other. And maybe this can be this little journey or practice can be something that gives a little bit of a more embodied sense of what we mean when we talk about interconnectedness or interbeing. It is really impossible to just be isolated and separate on our own. With the energy and the water and the air, all the movement with the earth, our bodies, our own thoughts and feelings and connections to other people. It's really a whole web of relationships. And Desmond Tutu said it quite beautifully. We are because we belong. We cannot be just in ourselves. So it's kind of a strange narcissism that we've cultivated in our society to be so focused in I, me, and mine, which is actually doesn't have any real foundation in how life and nature works, actually. So I hope that can confirm and maybe clarify and encourage our shared understanding of that interconnectedness.
Yeah, and it's also so beautiful
to be aware of and to experience the deeper, in a way, I'm aware in the depth of my being. I can see deeper into your being and into all beingness. So in a way, it is about deeply being present in myself, into all different dimensions of what you are, and then also connect from that place to you and reach you deeply in all your multi-dimensional being of what you are. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things we're really called to be present and to be in relationship with ourselves and with everyone and everything around us. I think this for me is also one of the foundational pieces for evolution. And I think, you know, from that perspective, looking at it, there's even no such thing as evolution. There's just co-evolution. Since we're so interdependent and interconnected, it only makes sense to also understand that our development and growth and expansion is interconnected deeply. So we can only co-evolve, really. And actually also so far, if you look at how we've came to the state and place of the planet and all of the different species at the moment on Earth, it's a co-evolution. None of this happened separately, isolated, one species, you know, developing on its own. No, it's all has been a co-evolution, a deeply related sense of development and expression of life.
And I mean, when
we look at this process of evolving, in my sense, it has a lot to do which choices I make and what gets my attention, what then also gets kind of fuel, if you will, to let it grow. So like in a garden, if I water something and give warmth to it, it will grow. So we have this in this process where we are now, when we talk about really being conscious of evolving, it also really has a lot to do with awareness and with choices I make. And maybe you can speak to that.
Yeah, I think one way to understand what it means to be conscious that has quite good practical implications is to see that consciousness is our ability to be aware of what we're aware of. So to direct and move our awareness intentionally. And I think for most part, evolution happened quite organically, quite self-organizing, but more unconsciously. And I think just kind of evolution evolving itself, we're coming to the stage where our capacity for complex thinking, for abstraction, for self-awareness is on such a high level that we can understand the principles of nature, the principles of life, the dynamics of evolution itself. And this is this is kind of us as an expression of evolution becoming conscious of itself, right? And then being able to not just kind of flow with the dynamics, but actually participate and shape and influence the dynamics as they're happening step by step. And at the same time, not knowing where things go, because that's not part of it. We don't get to know where we're going. We're riding the wave. We're really participating, and we can, you know, take a stand, as I said, maybe in the beginning, what I feel really called to, we can take a stand for values and things we care about without attaching or trying to enforce any specific outcomes. Because this is kind of the freedom of that evolutionary flow and dynamic that is really important to tune into. You know, everything. One of the things I think you can notice when you more deeply observe how nature works is that, you know, things are born, come to existence, they stay for a while, and then they die and they disappear. That's natural. That happens everywhere and with everything. And the same with us, evolutionary phases. Different things come and they stay a while and they go. And that's part of the pattern. And you never know what comes next and how long it stays and, you know, how things happen exactly. But you can trust on that basic dynamic of change and of these cycles. So in many ways, you and me and everyone listening now, we're just like a temporal node in that process of flow, in that process of evolution, that's happening. And it's maybe a little scary, but it's also truly exciting to have that kind of understanding of being that node in the web of relations, that node in that process of evolution. It's just there for a short time, and that's part of the change and of that dynamic of life.
Yeah, this reminds me, maybe Laura, you remember it. I mean, some maybe have noticed we have the same last names, and we are mother and daughter. And when you were a little kid, I was so interested also in the work of David Bohm, this very famous physicist. And he also said, actually, there is not really something like a thing. So our language, which we use, doesn't really reflect the nature of mm-hmm. how reality operates. So we may really had a phase where we would put to everything a verb. So you would not be Laura, you would be Laura-ing. I wouldn't be Puria, I would be Puria-ing. Kind of mm-hmm. to really address that we are a movement, we are not something constant, and it's beautiful mm-hmm. that you kind of address that. And mm-hmm. the other thing what I really kind of was so excited about is that you really also pointed to the fact that yes, we can be aware of participating in this changing and also making conscious choices, which kind of changes we agree to and we increase and we put weight to, but we can't control it. So that I find that an interesting paradox, because some people would maybe think when they hear the term conscious evolution, so we know and we do evolution, but in fact that's not the case. And maybe you can maybe address that a bit more and kind of share your understanding of it a bit more.
Yeah, I think in some ways I can definitely like link it back to this whole understanding of interbeing, and that we're all influencing each other and co-evolving. And evolution is usually quite a slow process, actually. And that's also why many of the changes, it's a slow process. It's an experimental process. It's a process with many small mistakes that step by step gradually improves to, you know, higher complexity and order and synergy and beauty and diversity. But it is also a slow process. And And you only see the results kind of in retrospective. So evolution is just that impulse. Like when you do archery, you know, you hold your bow and arrow and you shoot and you let it go. You aim, you give it a direction, you give it some force of that impulse of movement. But then you have to let go and you can't control. I mean, you know, you put an aim, but you can't control. And there are other influences, like, you know, like the wind or whatever that can determine where the arrow actually lands. And I think in that sense, evolution is just that driver, that force doesn't care actually where it's going. It's just moving. And I think this is also, I think for me, conscious evolution is more something that we align with, that we tune into, that we participate in. And it comes from an understanding and mindset of our interconnectedness instead of mindset of separate self, of me trying to have some win, some gain, some personal benefit, some control, some power over what happens. I think these are all mindsets and dynamics that we are familiar with and that we see expressed in many ways by how people create societies and all of that today. But I think this is something that's part of the old game and the old system and the old paradigm that's in transformation process as we speak. And part of that, you know, shift will be that something completely different emerges, which runs on different basic movements and dynamics that are unprecedented, that are different, that are new, that are just, you know, emerging from, you know, as part of that evolutionary impulse and the expression of that as in the humanity where we're at this moment in time. And that again will at some point change as well. And for me, you know, like, yeah, part of that I think is that the old paradigm, the old system will disappear, will die, will go to an end. And we will also gain a different understanding and sense of self or self-identity, you know. So we are really an emergent property of the whole system, of the whole universe itself. And I think all these different shifts then give energy and give nourishment to the evolution and the development of a completely new paradigm and a new reality for life. Yeah. And I think a critical part is that, because you mentioned that before, kind of like, what do we choose? What do we nourish in ourselves and in our lives? I think it's really key that everyone who is at all serious about trying to make a difference with the different crises that are happening, becoming more of an evolutionary agent, participating in this exciting development. I think it's really important that we stop playing or even trying to win the current game, because it's a dying game and it's a killing game. I mean, it's really ruining the foundation for our own existence, but also of many other living beings on this planet. And I think our first step is to really to stop playing that game. But also not to get stuck in fighting or blaming or rebellion or hopelessness or apathy about what's happening. To also don't get disconnected because we just focus on self-improvement and self-development and self-growth. I think it's really key to stay connected, to stay in relationship and to really link into the evolutionary dynamics of just trying something new, committed to life and committed to the development of consciousness, and then taking step by step slowly and adjusting and making mistakes and adjusting again, not knowing where you're going, but committed to go step after step after step. And I think this is something we can all be doing individually that is a really strong foundation for also our shared development.
So what I kind of collect as a summary while I'm listening to you is
staying focused, being patient, being curious, being adventurous, being open, not fixated on results, but holding a direction.
Mm.
There was also something I heard. And really also being open to not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Please. Because I really think that, you know, that the shift that we're in, I feel, you know, most shifts, they have quite a narrow time frame of happening, you know. When we look at babies, you know, in their mother's womb, they're really gathering resources, they're developing, and there's a narrow time frame from the stage of where they're just developed enough to leave their environment before it's actually too much and it would impact the health of the mother if they would stay longer. So it's, you know, it's a critical time frame. It's not a really long time frame for that kind of shift to happen. And it's the same also with that kind of famous analogy or metaphor of the caterpillar and the butterfly. You know, the caterpillar also gathers resources, eats, just collecting and assembling all of the different pieces and nutrients and minerals that are needed. And then, you know, becoming the cocoon and developing into a butterfly is just, when it's just about ready enough, but not too long, because then this window of opportunity would be over again. And I think we have a similar thing right now. And I think more and more people are feeling this sense of urgency and of this like delicate timing where we're in at the moment, where we're like, we're just about like ready enough to make the shift, but we're also like, we can't really stay much longer in the old game because otherwise it would be too self-destructive and destructive, you know, for the whole planet eventually, because we've developed such a capacity for impact and speeding up evolution through also the use of technology and all of the different machines and all overall technology that we develop, is that if we wait too long and if we push it too far, it becomes self-destructive. But we also need to be ready enough. And this is the time window that we're like in at the moment, where we really have that sense of like delicate timing. We're just like ready enough, but we can't wait too long because otherwise the systems are not supportive enough anymore of that transition. And I think this is kind of the exciting and critical time we're in now, and being really open and feeling and sensing and listening and relating to everything that's happening can support us to be informed and to be informed and active participants in that shift and that transformation. So I think this is really something that's key, and that comes back to that sense of relatedness with ourselves and with everything that's happening around us, because these are like the feedback loops, the flows of information, of exchange, of energy as well, that really support the self-organizing process of evolution to happen.
That's really,
I can relate really beautifully to what you just shared. I really can kind of sense it with all my different sensory tools in a way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura, what would you say from your perspective, which tendencies can you summarize? I mean, you kind of mentioned some pieces of it already, but how would you summarize the evolutionary tendencies you see right now?
I think in many ways, I think the starting point is individual people becoming more aware of awareness, of their own development, of a sense of the life force, of their evolutionary purpose, of who they are, of what it means to be human. I think this is something where we see different sparks awakening and lightening up more and more. But in many ways, I feel that's kind of just the starting point, the kind of activation of this, of the last stage where we're in, you know, like activating the different parts that already exist, you know, like everybody who's already exists, who's alive at this moment, they kind of get activated. They get some more energy, they get some more nutrients, they get some more consciousness. And I feel then, you know, that's part of this preparation of this kind of, you know, coming together to have that momentum for then the real shift to happen. And I think the shift we're moving into is a really big one. It's, you know, it's not just, you know, from the Middle Ages and then Industrial Revolution, or you know, the Renaissance or things like that. I think it's more a massive shift, like from single cells to multiple cell organisms, you know, where really like big changes are happening. And I think for those, the best taste I have, I think are basically two streams of development. And one relates very much to our connection with each other. And the potential for us to become less individual human beings and more multi-human organisms, that becoming more of a human collective, of a we, of groups, of communities, of villages, of organizations, whatever we want to call it, but of human collectives that have a sense for the whole. Not just the individual parts, but for the whole, and that can come to completely new levels of synergy and possibility and wisdom. Because I feel, you know, that this evolutionary shift is needed in individuals, but it's also not enough in individuals, because no individual has the capacity to really understand the whole. It's just impossible. It's not a matter of whether you're smart or not. It's just literally impossible. And part of this evolutionary shift is coming together and really integrating and unifying everything that we are individually into a whole that has much greater potential. So I think this is one of the really exciting dynamics. And I think we have different expressions and different initiatives and people who are really putting effort into developing this kind of work. You know, some of which you've also interviewed as part of the summit, like Patricia, who's doing so much work around evolutionary relationships and really the dynamics between people one-on-one in their relationships, but also how it applies for groups. I think another expression is also in the movement of intentional communities and eco-villages, where people really come together trying to find, to make more sense of what's happening and finding collective responses to how we're living in a way that's in support of life and in support of the ecosystems of our planet and in support and solidarity with each other. Which is one of the initiatives that I'm really engaged in with the Global Ecovillage Network, and supporting new initiatives of communities, but also supporting the transition of existing groups of people and villages to become more ecovillages until the whole world is just one big ecovillage. and there's also a movement within business and enterprises of people, the whole teal organization wave, reinventing organizations, lots of the people in the integral movement as well that are developing new understandings of leadership, understandings of collaboration. That's one of the things that it really comes down to. We need to develop the capacity for creative, collaborative, collective dynamics to really evolve further beyond individual capacity to make sense, to create possibilities, to make choices and to take action. That's just not enough at this point anymore. So this dynamic of the collective dynamics and the collective evolution is really key and is being experimented and tried out in these different areas, some of which I just mentioned. So I think for me, that's one of the big trends. And I would go as far as to predict that this is something that will become much stronger in the future as well, like our really development as collectives and the completely new games that will be possible if we move beyond competition, beyond separation, beyond fighting, and going against each other and trying to have power over each other, to really new ways of deeply relating and connecting and feeling with each other, influencing each other, relating, collaborating, and co-creating as well. So I think this will be a really powerful foundation for also more innovative solution on a practical sense, not to really respond to some of the practical physical challenges that we're dealing with. And I think the other stream of development that's also happening as part of this awakening to our interbeingness is a completely different understanding of our place in the world and our relationship, not just with nature, but as nature. And that gives a completely different possibility to how we see the world, how we understand the world, but in that sense, also of our whole economy, lifestyles, infrastructure, housing, work, basically every system, education, healthcare. I think they're all bound to change very rapidly in order to accommodate that massive shift that's about to happen as part of this evolution, and understanding more how we are really a part of nature, how we are nature, and that I think gives us the possibility to shift from, you know, destructive, degenerating systems and ways of relating with the world, not just to sustainable and green stuff, but even to regenerative and healing ways of being. And I think this is also something that's deeply, deeply necessary. And to really make up for all the destruction that we already caused in terms of ecosystem health, in terms of biodiversity, the whole balance of the ecological processes on the planet, you know, from the oceans to the glaciers to the deserts to the forests that are really critical to support life on this planet. And I think this is one of our responsibilities, to relate to what's happening and to respond in a way that we become a regenerative force on this planet instead of a destructive one. And I think a deeper sense of our interbeingness will pave the way, really, for different practices, you know, from agriculture to personal lifestyle to our entire economy, to really embrace our role as stewards of this planet, of stewards of life, and for the near term future, for sure, also as healers and regenerators, to make up and bring back a sense of balance and health for ourselves, but also for all the planetary systems that's really necessary. So I think this is another key aspect. And to balance out also what's happening now with the climate crisis or climate emergency, as people are calling it now. And this is, again, the problem is in a way the solution, you know. It's the greenhouse gases, they're not wrong. They're just out of balance. You know, we've been putting out all those gases by mainly burning fossil fuels, by destructive land use and agricultural practices and extraction of resources. They've always been on this planet. They just haven't been in that quantity in the atmosphere. But if we understand the natural systems more and the cycles, in this case, for example, of carbon and how it cycles, we can also understand that we can reverse the cycle again. And that actually plants doing photosynthesis can capture the carbon again from the atmosphere, turn it into biomass, and can be then used to build soil, to store it as biochar, to store it as biomass and plant matter, to be used in our infrastructure and building, in our diets, food, medicine, and to really, you know, restore balance again. And I think we have that capacity, and if we come to a deep embodied understanding of the interconnectedness and how we can't possibly be without trees, and the health of a bee is related to my health, and acidification in the ocean is related to our well-being as people. If we understand all those connections, I think we can become very effective participants in the regeneration and in the evolution at this point in time.
I mean, you covered
so much. I'm really very thankful of how you beautifully put all of that. And Laura, I'm aware of the time that we are coming to an end of our conversation, but I would like to try something out. So you representing the younger generation, and me and maybe many of the listeners representing the older generation, I would like to invite you to speak for the younger generation. What kind of support would you like to ask the older generation in supporting the younger generation in its participation, in its growth, in its in its kind of evolving and really tuning in and me tuning in, representing that. And maybe really I want to invite all of you, whether you are in Laura's age, kind of asking for your support from the elders, or whether you are an elder and being available to support the younger generation, what would be needed? What do you want to ask for?
One thing that came to me was an openness and a willingness to be composted, to become, you know, to become transformed, to become the nutrients and the soil for something new. I also had a sense of, and that's, I think that's even true across generations. How do we make space and how do we take space? You know, how can we take space to really show up fully as who we are and contribute, but how can we also make space for each other and for the gifts and contributions and needs and who we are for each other, you know, making space for each other. And I think that's something critical that we can also pay attention to as this part of, you know, becoming more conscious about this development is how can we give space to the new, you know, in ourselves, maybe in how some young people embody that, maybe in some how old people embody that, you know, that new, that evolutionary spark. But how can we make space for that and be open and willing to be composted and let parts that are no longer serving us become nutrients? You know, it's not that they're bad or wrong or not useful. On the contrary, they're very much needed. You know, the caterpillar needs to gather all those resources and be a destructive force by eating all those plants in order to have the capacity to have enough energy for this metamorphosis. And I think in that sense, you know, we've been extracting and gathering resources and materials also in quite destructive ways. And also individually, maybe we have habits and things that we've been collecting and gathering or doing that are not as, you know, useful for the new stage, but that were really so needed to bring us up where we are at the moment. So I think asking for an openness and willingness to be composted and to become the soil for something new is a key thing. And then I think the other thing having each other's backs and being connected and related to each other, that just gives us a sense of solidarity and support to grow beyond who we are now, to grow beyond what we know, to take a risky choice, to take a difficult step, to have a challenging conversation, to try out something that you've never done before. And I think if we can cultivate that sense of connection and community and solidarity amongst all of us, we can have greater capacity for the new and for the unknown, because we're in it together and we're not in it alone. So I think this is another thing that will make a big difference. And also speaking for young people, to have that sense of solidarity and support, I think is really critical. I think it's critical for everyone, actually, beyond age, really. And it's something that, yeah, like, you know, we are in it together, whether we realize it or not. So we might as well, you know, make the best of that fact. And I think we really have a greater possibility coming together. Yes.
So in that sense,
I wish all of us a happy composting and really celebrating the bigger possibilities, being open to them, being curious, loving to be adventurous, seeking out for support, holding each other's hands in that. And thank you so much, Laura, for taking your time, for sharing your perspectives. I really deeply appreciate it. Also, thank you for you in the audience, being open, being on this journey with Laura and myself, and maybe get inspired, maybe get scared a bit, maybe get touched by it. And thank you so much for joining. And don't forget to share with your friends if you like what you see and what you've seen so far. And I'm really looking forward to see you also in the next conversation. Thank you.